Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
All right, so 2021, we kicked off our theme for 2021 a couple of weeks ago, which is called The Heart of God, and we've got our banners up, and you saw them for 2 weeks, and now they're here still. Fantastic. But we want to look at this year. We're gonna open it up, and we're going to look at what is God's heart for the world today? What is God's heart for humanity in general? And what is God's heart for you and I personally? And we learned that as we look at the heart of God, what we're actually looking at is His core, who God is. And when we do that, we're going to find this deep and profound love for each and every one of us, for His creation. And today I want to share a message with you that I have titled Heart Transplant. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. It is called Heart Transplant. And we're going to read a scripture to start off the message from Ezekiel 11. We're going to read verses 19 and 20. So if you've got your Bible there, grab out Ezekiel 11. If you've got your device, if you're not watching on it, work that out. Get your paper Bible out if you've got it there and turn to Ezekiel 11. And I'm going to have it on the screen. So let's read it. It says, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." A heart transplant. If you've ever watched a Disney fairy tale before, or perhaps a romantic comedy movie, no doubt you've heard these words that the characters just throw out there at some point. I'm like, if you put an image in your head, I'm imagining it's Elsa or it's Anna, they're speaking to one another. And they say these words, that's because I've got a daughter and Frozen, yep. And they say these words, and what do they say? They say, "Listen to your heart." You know, or they're going off to do something, and they'll say, what does your heart tell you? You know what I'm talking about? Have you heard that before in a movie? What does your heart tell you? Listen to your heart. It's as if our heart is a compass that has a pointer, and we should follow or go where it's leading us to. If you're lost, your heart will save you, it says in these moments. If you're lost, your heart will save you. And in the movies, this often works out. It's a happy little fairy tale, and that's great for the movie. But if we're not careful, I think that we begin to believe that lie in our own lives, that if we listen to our heart and we do what it says, that things will work out great. But the truth is, and we're going to see this in the Word today, the truth is that our hearts will not save us. And in fact, we need to be saved from our hearts. Let's look at Matthew 15, 18 to 19. "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the," say it with me, "the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." These are the things that Jesus actually says to us come out of our heart. Listen to your heart, follow your heart. I'm not sure when this is what's actually coming out. I'm sure if we could get a projector and plug it into your heart and the desires of your own heart were to be streamed up onto the projector screen, I'm sure that we'd be running for that plug to cut it as soon as we can or pull it out of the wall, because that's not really what we want to see on display. What does your heart want? What does your heart want? And get honest, and I think it's an accurate question for us to ask. Similar to a Jack Sparrow compass that doesn't actually point you or lead you in the direction of the truth, it simply leads to that which we want most. And our heart is the same. We've got a heart problem. Our hearts are consumed with self, self-indulgence, self-promotion, self-glory. See, church, your heart is not designed to be followed. It is designed to be led. And what we need is not to follow our hearts, but to allow Jesus, who the Bible talks about is that great physician in Mark 2, who comes not for the righteous, but for the sinners, who came not for those who are well, but for those who are sick, to do some heart surgery on us. We have a sick heart. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. John 14:1, it says, "Let your hearts not be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." So I encourage you today, don't listen to your heart. Don't follow your heart. Well, don't follow it, but be very careful listening to it because it'll speak. It tells you what you want. So take what your heart says and take it to Christ. Whether it's the good, that we surrender that over to Him. If it's the bad, we surrender that over to Him and allow Him to have His way with what is coming out of that. But to live this way, it actually requires some surgery for us, hence the title, Heart Transplant. Now, I had a small procedure this week on my finger, and I went in on Monday and I had to do a biopsy, and then I went back on Friday, and it was all good, so it's all fine. But it's a funny thing when I walk into a place like that for a small procedure, because there's something that happens, there's something weird that happens. And I don't know about you, I've shared this maybe before, I didn't think it was a thing, but seemingly is a thing. I start to get a bit woozy. You know, I get a bit woozy when I'm having one of these things done. And so I go into the doctor's surgery and I sit on the bed, I lie on the bed and I'm just talking to the nurse and she's all good. And I just say, just by the way, it's happened to me in the past, you know, I get an anesthetic and I start to get a bit woozy. And she's like, you'll be fine. It'll be fine. We're just putting a block in your finger. You'll be totally fine. I'm like, no worries. Just let you know. And so I lie down on the bed and the doctor comes in and he's great. He knows what he's doing and I trust him. And he goes and he comes. And he's like, no worries. So this is what we're going to do. He explains the procedure. It's all good. And I'm lying there. And so he says, all right, so I'm just going to put the block in. I'm going to put the needle in. And he starts, you know, well, you know what they say? You know, it'll just pinch, just a little pinch. Have you heard that? Just a little pinch, a little scratch. I tell you what, after about the sixth or seventh scratch, I'm like, don't scratch me anymore. I've had enough scratches in my finger for today and just little jab, 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 jab. So that was all nice. I'm like, no worries. I'm totally fine. Until I wasn't. And about, you know, 20 seconds later, I say to them, I was like, guys, I'm starting to feel a bit woozy. I'm starting, you know, the fuzziness is coming and my stomach's not feeling well. I don't know what it is, but you put the thing in me and that's what happens. And so I you know what they do? They just, you know, I'm laying down, but then all of a sudden my head just goes, boom, it goes out and we'll drop your head. We'll get the blood going back to your head and we'll get you back. And so they just, I mean, the best ones take that opportunity to just do what they need to do and get done with it. But, you know, in a matter of 2 minutes, I was back to normal. Praise God for that. I'm all good. And I don't know what's going on with it, but that's the thing. So, you know, there's going to be continual stories if you're part of our church and now I ever get a procedure that something's going to happen. Or if I have another child for that matter. We'll see about that. But sometimes, you know, I don't know what it is, but is there nervousness? I don't know. I don't know really what it is. But sometimes we can get nervous about a procedure like this. And what gives you confidence in those moments is not that you fully understand the procedure that's going on, but you fully trust in the specialist or the person that's actually doing the work on you. And I tell you, in this case, when we talk about a heart transplant, this is not just anyone. This is not a doctor. This is not an expert. This is not a specialist. This is the Creator Himself, the person who has designed you. And you can fully trust in God to do that work in a beautiful way in your hearts when we talk about that heart transplant. And I use that word deliberately, transplant. This is not just heart transformation. This is a full-blown replacement. This is the old one out and the new one in. Change from what to what? What is the problem we have? And we talked about this at the start. That scripture is Ezekiel. And we're going to read it again right now and flick back to Ezekiel 11. And it says again, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. And I want you to flick a little bit further. We're going to go down to Ezekiel 36. Similar, but I want us to read this one as well. Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. And it says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away. And you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. And read this part here with me. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Underline that. Circle that. Tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you. Why? So that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. See, church, a soft heart is what God wants for each one of us, one that is tender, one that is responsive. Write that word down. One that is responsive. My heart is to be responsive to that which God is saying. And there it is again. We talk about that, and I want to encourage you all the time as you hear a message, as you dive into the Word of God. What is my response? What should my response be to this Word that I'm hearing, to the revelation that is coming to me? I read this quote this week from an author called Vance Havner, and it says, "Let it never be forgotten that although we may do nothing about the Word we hear, the Word will do something to us. The same sun melts ice and hardens clay, and the Word of God humbles or hardens the human heart." Can we decide today, church, to allow our hearts to be soft and responsive to the Word, to allow it to be used and molded? I want to just go through a couple of things for us as we finish up this morning with regard to when we set sail on this course after the heart of God, as we maintain a soft and responsive heart. The first thing I want you to know, and I've talked about it already before, is that God is the surgeon. God is the surgeon. And these prophecies in Ezekiel are as God speaking, that He's the only one that can do this heart transplant for us. I'm not sure if you've ever seen anyone go ahead and try and do their own heart transplant. It just does not work. The removal of the old and the replacement with the new can only be done by God's redemptive power at work in us. And if you've made a decision for Christ, the good news is, to hand your life over to Him, the good news is the heart transplant has been done. It has been done in you. You have a new heart, a new spirit. The tender heart is in. Sky, can I have that little container down there, please? Just throw it up to me. This is my son Romans. This is Romans. He doesn't know it's his because he hasn't gotten it yet, but he'll get it when I get home. You know what it is, don't you? What is it? Play-Doh. It is Play-Doh. And look at Play-Doh. Like, you just squish it and mold it, and this is fresh Play-Doh. I won't drop it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can mold it. You can shape it. It is very easy. It is very soft. And I want to talk about the work that we need to do to maintain our hearts like this and why it is important. See, the work that God has done, oh, it smells minty. Do you know that? Is Play-Doh supposed to smell? I don't know. Anyway, this one smells minty. Back to the topic. Anyway, the work that God has done is divine. It is essential for us. And without that, our hearts remain hard. Again, it is down to the work that God does in us that we have a soft heart. And unresponsive is the heart that is hard, unresponsive to all that God has. And I know if you may be able to think of some that you know, or areas in society where the heart is hard, the heart has become hard to what God is. But receiving and responding to the Word is what keeps our hearts soft. Write that down. To respond to the heart of God, receiving and responding to the Word is what keeps our hearts soft. And if you've ever used Play-Doh before, you know that it is only useful and it is best while it is being used in your hands, while it can be molded, it can be shaped, it can be used, it can be played with as you desire. But if you ever left Play-Doh or your kids of it, I mean, the number one place that I find Play-Doh in our house is in the carpet, right? And it's already sat there and it's dried. And fortunately, once it's dry, you can pick it up easily. But if you've ever left Play-Doh out on the bench, you know what happens. That Play-Doh sits there, it becomes hard and is no longer good for anything. It cannot be used. And that is the same thing that happens with our hearts. We need to remain soft and pliable, responsive to the receiving of the Word in us. And if we do not, and if we stop getting the Word into us, what happens? Our hearts are left out on the bench and begin to go hard, unresponsive to the Word. So let's remain pliable. Let's remain soft, ready to be moved and shaped as God sees fit. I don't know about you, but I just want to, at all times, be ready and willing to follow as the Holy Spirit leads. If He is calling in one direction, if He's moving in one way, let us be responsive and soft, ready to go where the Holy Spirit leads at any time. But church, we have a part to play as individuals in this as well. And we read this in Ezekiel 18:31. And it says, put all your rebellion behind you and find yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. See, God has done the work and now is inviting us to continue with that as we press into him to maintain that softness and to maintain that tenderness. And I just want to talk about tenderness as we close. Thanks, Steph. As we close to that tender heart. And there's two scriptures I want to bring up to you, but there are many more that are around. Let's read them. Thanks, Dave. 1 Peter 3:8. Firstly, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. I think time for right now. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. What is it to be tender-hearted? Have a humble attitude. And Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That's just two examples of what it looks like to have a soft heart. And I want you to actually think about that, and perhaps over lunch as a family, or if you've got people there around, or even yourself with your journal, write a few things down of what a soft heart looks like and evaluate in our own life. Are we responsive? Are we able to be moved? Lord God, are we allowing the truth of your word to be outworked by our action? I'm really excited for what is to come. In more ways than one. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk to you about our March fast. And over the last few years, we have spent the month of March in prayer and fasting as a church. And we did it in September last year as well, during lockdown. And we did it over a stream, and we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks to come as well. But it's really about setting our time aside, about readjusting certain habit patterns and seeking God for that 1 month. And honestly, these months of prayer and fasting, if you've joined in, you'd know this. For me, where I hear about the most breakthrough happening, the most revelation coming to people, I hear the wonderful work of God as people all over just dive deep into all that he has. Deep into his word, into spending time with him. These are the times where God takes our hearts and is just able to mold them and shape them. And he may go, look, it's good. Your heart is going great at the moment. But hey, there's another area here that I want to shape so that you are shaped to be more like my son, Jesus. These are the times. These are the times where God can do that work in us. And so I want to encourage you to ready yourself when it comes to March. Perhaps you've never fasted in your life. Well, we're going to talk about it. I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to think right now about what God is calling you to fast, what God is calling you to pray for over this month. Perhaps it's for you individually. Perhaps it's something for those around you that you want to see breakthrough in. I don't know about you, church, but I am ready for a move of the Holy Spirit in this place. I'm ready to see people running into church as they find truth in Jesus. And you know what? That is God's heart. We talk about the heart of God. His heart is that we would move as he calls, as if we would draw near to him and go where he leads. That our hearts, church, are soft and ready to receive his word and do that which he's calling us to do. Praise you, God, for what you are going to do in and through this place, in and through our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord God, that as we draw near to you, that you are faithful, that we can trust in you, that we can hang our whole lives, all of our hopes, all of our dreams on your word and your truth. And Father, today I pray for anybody at home who has perhaps over the past few months, their heart has hardened a little bit. That, Lord God, in the receiving of your word this morning, that they would become soft. They would become ready to receive your word. It's ready to move as you call, Lord God. We want more of you, Jesus. We want more of you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in us, we pray. Let your truth reign in this church, in this community, that we would see more people come to know your name, Jesus, as the name above all names. Father, we thank you that we get to play a part in this. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that we can come to you so freely for the work that you have done in removing the hard heart and giving us a heart of flesh. We love you. Have your way in us. Now I'll pray for anyone and talk to you this morning. And perhaps you don't know Jesus. Perhaps there's still a stony heart, as the word says, sitting inside. Well, to begin that process of change, that process of lying down on the operating table, for Jesus to take that stony heart out and replace it with a soft and tender heart, the first act is an act of surrender in that. And it's amazing in that act that though surrender is associated with losing something, when we surrender to Jesus, we don't lose our lives, we actually gain it. We gain eternal life in the presence of God. You gain a new direction in this life here. We gain new thoughts. We gain new passions. The Bible says simply there are three things that are necessary for this. Firstly, to turn from our sins, to turn away from that which we've been a part of, that's what we've been doing, where we've been missing the mark for what God has called. Turn from your sins, to surrender your life to Christ. And this is not just joining a church. This is not just being a good person when it comes to morals, but it's surrendering to the saving grace that's only found in Jesus. And the third part is for us to follow him, to serve him. I have this word as I was preparing this message today for someone, that you've been living by that old saying that you shouldn't have your eggs, or you should have your eggs in more than one basket. Well, I'll tell you the truth today, that the basket that Jesus has is the only basket that you need. And you can actually go all in, knowing that he is faithful, that he cares for you, that he loves you, and you can go all in. You can pop all your eggs in that basket, and Jesus will take them in the palm of his hand, care for you, and love you for eternity. There is no other basket you need in life apart from Jesus Christ. He will change your life and he will forgive your sins. So if you want to make a decision for Christ today, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. And for all of our church members at home, I'd encourage you to say this along. Potentially there's someone you need to speak this over today. This is that act of salvation. So if that's you today, you can speak it out. If that's uncomfortable, say it in your heart. I just pray, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose victoriously from the grave so that I can have a relationship with you. I repent of my sins and the things I've done wrong. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I accept your forgiveness today. Today I say yes to you. I believe you live in me and that my life now belongs to you. Thank you that I'm a new creation and that I have eternal life in you, with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We rejoice with you today. We celebrate with you today. That is the best decision you can ever make in your life. We would love to be able to journey the next steps with you, and you can do that. It's going to come up on the screen just via our website. That is the best way for us to get in contact with you through this and continue this journey of what it is to live a life with Jesus.
Good morning, church. I'm so glad to be joining with you to share communion this morning. So if you haven't already, why don't you grab your juice and your biscuit and we will get started. So it's Valentine's Day today, and I don't know about you, but when I think about Valentine's Day, I think about flowers. That tends to be the go, people get flowers for one another. And my husband, he could either be described as a cheapskate or a bargain hunter. It depends on who you are, and he loves getting his flowers from Woolies and Coles because they're cheap and they're convenient. And I made it known to him, very subtly of course, that whilst I love getting these supermarket flowers, every now and then it might be nice to mix it up and get a bunch from a florist because they tend to last a bit longer and all that. And the last time he brought me flowers home, he was very proud of himself. They were a big, beautiful bouquet. They had lots of different flowers in there. They were stunning. And I kept saying, oh, thank you so much, Matt. This is so great. You really didn't have to go to all this effort. And he sat there quietly and took the praise. He was very happy with himself. And then later on in the week, I went to Coles. And what do you know? The flowers were sitting there. My bunch of flowers were sitting there ready to be sold. And they ended up being supermarket flowers. But he just remembered to take the tag off the side. And when we consider communion this morning, we consider a saviour that didn't take any shortcuts. He certainly didn't look to save himself in any way. Instead, he paid the ultimate price for the ones he loved. And truthfully, Matthew, you give great gifts, even if they are from Woolies, but nothing really compares to the perfect and fulfilling everlasting gift that Jesus gave us on the cross. And when I was asked to share this morning, I went to my calendar to check the date, and I saw that it was Valentine's Day. And then later on in the afternoon, the song Valentine actually popped into my head by Hillsong. And I won't play it for you this morning, but I just thought I'd read a few lyrics from it. So the verse says, "For your sacrifice for the sake of all, redemption's birth and relentless hope. As the weight of grace crushed the face of love, you bled and you died for your enemies. To woo us back from death and woe, a Valentine to a faithless world. Every wayward heart, you pursue us all, and in kindness, you call us home." And the lyrics in this verse say that Jesus gave a Valentine to a faithless world. Jesus gave us the perfect gift, his sacrifice on the cross, to have relationship with us. And Valentine's Day is a time that we tend to think about relationships. We think and we celebrate love for a day. And relationships can be a really touchy subject for some people, depending what experience you've had throughout your lives. But when we look to Jesus as a Valentine to a faithless world, we can experience the perfect expression of love through Christ Jesus. A Valentine that was a free gift, an offering to us, and as the song says, to woo us back from death and woe. If you think about Valentine's Day and the most extreme gesture of someone trying to woo another person, it could be an extravagant gift or a fancy dinner or a crazy proposal. And Jesus went to those lengths for us. He did it so that we could experience the love that he has for us as an invitation to be in relationship with him. And in Romans 5:8, it says, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And in 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus died on the cross to repair our relationship with God so that we could have daily, side-by-side, conversational relationship with him, our Heavenly Father. He died on the cross to make a way for complete unity between us and God. And in John 17, 23, Jesus said, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, you have loved them as you have loved me. And when it comes to communion, this is another opportunity to appreciate all that Jesus did for the sake of our reconciliation and our relationship with our Heavenly Father. When I think about worldly relationships, there can be a pressure to be the perfect partner, to make no mistakes for the protection of the relationship. And we don't like to feel vulnerable. We don't like to show our weaknesses. We often feel as though we have to be enough. We have to be funny enough. We have to be smart enough. We have to be pretty enough. Or we have to be good enough for the relationship. And it can be the same with our relationship with God. We can feel overwhelmed by the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross, that He lived a perfect life and he took the place for us. He made the sacrifice we deserve to make, and we can start to feel like we need to be perfect for him because of all that he has done for us. And when we don't live up to this, it's easy to start to feel guilt and shame and disappointment. But this is where our relationship with God is so different. We can solely rely on Jesus, on everything that he is and everything that he has done for us. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me." We're not living in our power alone and in our ability to be enough. We rest on the knowledge that Christ is for us. His power is made perfect in our weakness, in our imperfection. And the key for us as Christians is humbling ourselves before the cross in the knowledge that we are weak, humbling ourselves before his glory, as he wants us to be real and vulnerable with him. Having a humble heart means that we are continually seeking to be more like Christ, recognizing that we're not perfect and we're going to continue to improve as we be open and obedient to God's callings throughout our lives. God wants to bring us wholeness through Jesus, through the cross. So this morning, let's enter into God's presence with thanksgiving for the fact that he gave his son the greatest gift of all that we could ever, the greatest gift we could ever receive, that he became our Valentine to a faithless world, our Valentine despite our weakness and despite our flaws. He chose you and is pursuing every wayward heart. So let's ask ourselves this morning, are we being vulnerable at the cross? Can we bring everything that we have, everything that we're struggling with, and can we bring it to the cross? Because as we lift our eyes towards Jesus this morning, he wants to exchange our baggage for his resurrection, our weakness for his strength. And all we need to do is be humble and grateful and ready to follow his calling and be in relationship with him. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." So let's just pray before we take the elements. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Your goodness and your mercy can never be exaggerated. We thank you for your perfect and everlasting gift that you gave to us by being a sacrifice in our place, by dying on the cross for us. We bring all of our weaknesses and all our insecurities before you, and we lay them at the cross this morning. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father. In your name, amen.